The swarms swept from Saskatchewan to Texas, devouring everything in their path. The grasshoppers savored the sweat-stained handles of farm implements, chewed the wool off sheep, ate the leaves off trees. Welcome to 10-Minute Mitzvah episode 153, Locusts, Plagues, and Jewish Unity. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Let us speak of locusts. I first learned of the damage that locusts can do as a child when I encountered the Exodus story, one in which the locust figures as one of the 10 plagues brought upon Egypt. It was also as a child that I came upon a more contemporary account of a plague caused by locusts. And this was in On the Banks of Plum Creek, one of the books in the Little House series by Laura Ingalls Wilder. There, she describes her father, expectant, eager that his wheat crop would reap a handsome profit for the family, when all of a sudden, locusts come and destroy everything. This is an event that did occur. It is described in Caroline Fraser's biography, Prairie Fires, The American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Fraser tells us of the enormity of this plague and how many Americans were hurt by it. She writes, speaking of Charles Ingalls, Laura's father, quote, "Charles was gloating over the wheat as the family sat down to dinner one June day. Raising his arms, he showed them how tall it was, with long, beautiful heads and filling nicely. Just as he pronounced it a wonderful crop, they heard someone calling them outside. It was their neighbor, Olena Nelson, and she was screaming, 'The grasshoppers are coming, the grasshoppers are coming.' The Ingallses had no way of knowing it, but the locust swarm descending upon them was the largest in recorded human history. It would become known as Albert's Swarm. In Nebraska, a meteorologist named Albert Child measured its flight for 10 days in June, telegraphing for further information from east and west, noting wind speed and carefully calculating the extent of the cloud of insects. He startled himself with his conclusions. The swarm appeared to be 110 miles wide, 1,800 miles long, and a quarter to a half mile in depth. The wind was blowing at 10 miles an hour, but the locusts were moving even faster at 15. They covered 198,000 square miles, Child concluded, an area equal to the states of Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Vermont combined. This is utterly incredible, he wrote. Yet how can we put it aside? The cloud consisted of some 3.5 trillion insects. The swarms swept from Saskatchewan to Texas, devouring everything in their path. The grasshoppers savored the sweat-stained handles of farm implements, chewed the wool off sheep, ate the leaves off trees. After flying, settling, consuming, and laying eggs, they began marching across the country, millions massing to form pontoons across creeks and rivers. Hoppers were said to eat everything but the mortgage." End quote. So Fraser writes about this plague, which hit the United States in 1875, and she further tells us that, quote, "Terrified, people reach for comparisons, likening the insectile clouds to other natural disasters, snowstorms, hailstorms, tornadoes, even wildfires. The noise their myriad jaws make when engaged in their work of destruction can be realized by anyone who has fought a prairie fire. The low crackling and rasping," read a report from the U.S. Entomological Commission, created by Congress to address the crisis. "Even modern scientists stretch for language to convey the swarm's ferocity, calling it a metabolic wildfire. It consumed roughly a quarter of the country." End quote. We think of this plague that struck America as we ponder the fact that among all insects, it is locusts, at least some forms of locusts, that are actually kosher. This is particularly striking because when it comes to birds, all species that are birds of prey are apparently forbidden. And among the animals, though of course there are many herbivores that also do not qualify as kosher, there is no carnivore, no animal that preys on another that has split hooves and chews its cud and is therefore permissible to eat. Yet it is precisely a form of insect that causes enormous damage, incredible harm, that can be considered kosher. This we are told in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 20, 21, and 22. and I read the Hebrew along with the translation provided by Safaria. Kol sheretz ha'of ha'olech al arba sheket hu lachem. All winged swarming things that walk on fours shall be an abomination for you. Ach et zeh tochelu mikol sheretz ha'of ha'olech al arba, asher lo kra'aya mimala raglav l'nater bahen al ha'aretz. But these you may eat among all the winged swarming things that walk on fours, all that have above their feet jointed legs to leap with on the ground. Et elamehem tochelu et harbe lemineo vet salam lemineo vet asalam lemineo vet achargol lemineo vet achagav lemineo. Of these you may eat the following: locusts of every variety, all varieties of bald locust, crickets of every variety, and all varieties of grasshopper. And then verse 23 adds, v'chol sheretz ha'of asher lo arba raglaim sheketz hu lachem. But all other winged swarming things that have four legs shall be an abomination for you. As further delineated in the Talmud, it is only specific types of what today are called locusts and grasshoppers that are permitted. And there have been certain signs passed down in order to single out the kosher variety. Signs which have been preserved by at least certain groups of Jews throughout diaspora history. But what are we to make of the fact that this is the only form of permitted insect, one which causes such terrible damage? The answer, in my view, is that there is no full explanation. For as I have argued in my article in Azure, Locusts, Giraffes, and the Meaning of Kashrut, while the larger purpose of the kosher laws can be understood, it is a constant reminder through dietary habits of the special covenantal role and obligations of the Jewish people. At the same time, the details as applied to each group, animals that have split hooves and chew their cud, fish that have fins and scales, etc., are mysterious and thereby remind the Jewish people to remain humble when it comes to their covenantal role. They have specific duties and tasks given them by God, and they join this with an awe and humility regarding the omniscience of God. This awe, inspired by the mysterious nature of the kosher laws, is one that is to be encountered in every area of animal life. Thus, there are certain kosher fish and certain non-kosher fish, certain kosher animals and certain non-kosher animals, kosher birds and non-kosher birds, and, even in the insect world, the reminder of covenantal status and duties can be encountered. And this, in turn, as I have stressed, is meant to inspire not arrogance, but humility and sense of obligation, as well as a sense of unity amongst members of the covenantal people. In one famous story in the Talmud, describing how lack of Jewish unity led to the fall of Jerusalem and its conquest by the Romans in 70 CE, the Talmud describes an argument between two Jews known as Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, a hatred between Jews that had terrible consequences. Stories like these parallel what Josephus tells us, which is that factionalism in Jerusalem during the Judean revolt ultimately is what brought about the revolt's failure, the fall of the sacred city, and the burning of the temple. The names Kamtza and Bar Kamtza are noteworthy. Recent academics writing on Talmudic tales have noted that the word Kamtza means locust. And I would build on this point by noting that, according to the Mishnah, plagues of locusts can cause such damage that even the sighting of a single one ought to inspire fasting and prayer, that real damage does not follow. And the larger symbolic point of the Talmud describing hatred among Jews named Kamtza and Bar Kamtza is that factionalism among the Jewish people is itself a plague that can end up causing terrible damage. We, in turn, as we ponder the law of locusts and the identification of certain kosher species in the insect world, which is considered a mitzvah in the counting of the commandments, we think of the mysterious, miraculous tale of the Jewish people, saved from plagues in Egypt long ago and enduring to this day. A reminder to avoid the plague of hatred and division and to embrace our covenantal calling. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.